नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशदारिणे वंचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की सो टुडे सीक्वेंशियली वी विल कंटिन्यू विद श्रीमद् भागवतम फ्रॉम कैंटो नंबर 7 एंड इट्स चैप्टर 15 एंड इट्स वर्स नंबर 10। This particular chapter in Canto 7 is entitled Instructions of Civilized Human Beings. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. द्रव्ययज्ञैर्यक्ष्यमानानां दृष्ट्वा भूतानि बिभ्यति एषा मा करुणो हन्यात् अतज्ञो हि असुतृप्ध्रुवम् यज्ञयज्ञैर्यक्ष्यमानम् द्रव्ययज्ञे यक्षमानानां दृष्टा भूतानि वेभ्यते माताजी So kindly repeat. Dravya Yajnai. With animals and other eatable things. Yakshamanam. The person engaged in such sacrifices. Drishtva. By seeing. Bhutani. The living entities, animals, bibhyati, become afraid. Eshaha, this person, the performer of sacrifice. Ma, us. Akarunaha, who is inhumane and merciless. hanyat will kill. Atat gyaha, most ignorant. He, indeed. Asutrip, who is most satisfied by killing others. Dhruvam, certainly. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ji Ki. Upon seeing the person engaged in performing the sacrifice, animals meant to be sacrificed are extremely afraid, thinking, this merciless performer of sacrifices, being ignorant of the purpose of sacrifice and being most satisfied by killing others, will surely kill us. Purport. Animal sacrifice in the name of religion is currently practically all over the world in every established religion. It is said that Lord Jesus Christ, when 12 years old, was shocked to see the Jews sacrificing birds and animals in the synagogues, and that he therefore rejected the Jewish system of religion and started the religious system of Christianity. Adhering to the Old Testament commandment, thou shall not kill. At the present day, however, not only are animals killed in the name of sacrifice, but the killing of animals has increased enormously because of the increasing number of slaughterhouses. Slaughtering animals, either for religion or for food, is most abominable and is condemned herein. Unless one is merciless, one cannot sacrifice animals, either in the name of religion or for food. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarobhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesh Tanayas Taddham Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajuvadu Vargena Taya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavata Purana Yamalam Prema Pumartho Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Mataidam Nayatraya Graha Paraha Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Udirayet Shrinvanta Swakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam Hridiyantasta Bhadrani Vidunoti Surut Satam Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So first of all, my thousands and thousands of obeisances unto Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada disciples, senior Vaishnavas, the present Brahmacharis, and all the assembled Vaishnavas. by your blessings, may my words come out in such a way that they are in line with our Rupanuga Varga and very pleasing to their lordships Nitai Gaur Sundar, Sri Lalita Vishaka Radha Ras Bihari Ji, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji. Nitai Gaur Sundar, Lalita Vishaka Radha Ras Bihari Ji, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Maharaj Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So I will read the verse one more time. Dravya yagya yakshamananam drishtva bhutani vibhyati esha makaruna hanyad atajya hi asutrip dhruvam. Upon seeing the person engaged in performing the sacrifice, animals meant to be sacrificed are extremely afraid, thinking this merciless performer of sacrifices, being ignorant of the purpose of the sacrifice and being most satisfied by killing others, will surely kill us. This is a wonderful verse that, along with the purport, condemns the killing of animals. Before I actually go into this verse, I generally like to summarize the chapter, because some of you may be present every day or some of you may not be present every day. So that way the listeners can get a connection as to where this verse is coming from sequentially into this chapter entitled Instructions of for Civilized Human Beings. This instructions actually is being spoken by Naradji to Yudhishthir Maharaj. In the previous chapter of the 7th canto, chapter number 14, Naradji instructed Yudhishthir Maharaj about ideal family life. And in this present chapter, these are the instructions for civilized human beings. The summary of this chapter is as follows. In this chapter, Narad Muni expresses to Yudhishthir Maharaj the different types of Brahmins. There are four types of Brahmins that are there. One is the Grihastha Brahmin, who is generally into that kind of dharma or religion where he gives charity and also does karmakanda, including the oblations or the Shraddha ceremony to the forefathers. Then there is another kind of Brahmana who is superior, considered superior than the Grihasthas, is the Vanaprasthas, where the Vanaprasthas are Brahmins, are very much into austerity and penances. And they are in a retired life where they have given up their family life and they are kind of preparing for sannyas. And then, of course, there is the Brahmachari ashram that Naradji is talking about, where the Brahmacharis are celibates who are studying the Vedas and also explaining the Vedas to the general public. And then, of course, within the ashrams, the topmost ashram is the sannyas ashram. And in the sannyas ashram, Prabhupada mentions that the sannyas ashram is meant for cultivating yoga. But what kind of yoga? Bhakti yoga. There are different types of sannyasis based on the pantha or the method that they are following. There are Mayavadi sannyasis, there are jnanis. So sannyas ashram is generally meant for cultivating knowledge, jnana, but especially in the Vaishnavas, it is bhakti yoga. Is to cultivate yoga. Yoga means to connect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nowadays we hear so much about yoga, especially in the West. On every street or in every community, there is some kind of a yoga store. Hot yoga, this yoga, that yoga. You give some money and it becomes like a gymnastic exercise. Where the instructors also don't know what the purpose of yoga is. Yoga means to connect. To connect to who but? To connect to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not just simply some gymnastic exercises. Also, because the Grihasthas are addicted to Karmakan, because they want some benefit, material benefit, so they are generally mostly into what the Vedas describe as Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha, which obviously you all know, it's a different topic by itself. That's what Vyasadeva had originally written in the Bhagavatam, in the Vedas, and his Guru, Naradji said that you are extremely despondent or sad because you have not elaborately described pure bhakti or the pastimes of Krishna. Vedas generally deal with these four subjects, and these four subjects of dharma, artha, and kama, moksha is basically like giving a fuel to the fire. People in general are generally addicted to these things, to material way of life, and that is why they normally are committed to religiosity. And once they commit to religiosity, their desires are fulfilled, they get artha, they get lots of dhan, money. And because of that, their kama, the material desires are fulfilled. Because when you have money, the more money you have, the more material desires you get. And the more material desires you get, you try to do more dharma so that you can get more money. So it's like a catch-22 situation. And then eventually, some of the intelligent amongst the people who are materialistic and who are at the same time dharmic, or they are spiritual, they say that this is all useless because they are not fully satisfied. So then they want moksha. But it's simply all about them. There's no question of any Krishna bhakti there. So that is why it is condemned by Naradji also. And that is the reason why we have Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahamuni Krite Kim Vapare Ishvara Sadhya Avaruddhati Atra Kriti Vi Shushruvi Tat Shanat. So basically it means that because Srimad Bhagavatam was finally compiled by great Muni Vyasdev, and there is no need of any other scripture. None of the, because this is the cream of the Vedic literatures. Nigama kalpa taro galitam phalam. It is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. So there is no need for, and if one serves sevan, actually Bhagavatam is not to be read. If you really see the real deep inner meaning of purport, Bhagavat, there are two kinds of Bhagavat. Bhagavat, one is the book Bhagavat, the granth Bhagavat, and the other Bhagavat is the person Bhagavat, one who actually lives every word of the Bhagavat. So Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. He is actually Krishna. Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's words, Krishna's paraphernalia, Krishna's dham, they are non-different. They are all transcendental and as good as Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam we have to serve, sevan. It's a service of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is, if one simply has the deep desire to serve Srimad Bhagavatam, then Krishna, Krutubhi Shushrubhi, Tatshanat, one can arrest Krishna within their heart. Tatshanat, Avarudyate Atra. So Narad Muni is describing in this chapter that the Grihasthas are generally dedicated to Karmakand so that they can get material benefit, and especially Karmakand activities, like particularly in this chapter, in the beginning it is mentioned, it is about the Shraddha ceremony. And in the Shraddha ceremony, the people in general, or including those so-called fallen Brahmins, they have no idea. In the Shraddha ceremony, they even sacrifice animals. Pashugna, killing of animals. And that is condemned very clearly in this chapter. Killing of animals is completely unnecessary in the Shraddha ceremony for the satisfaction of the forefathers. And the persons who are actually knowledgeable in the Vedas, or in the actual knowledge about Dharma, they are known as Dharma Vitta. Dharma means religion and Vitta means one who knows. So in reality, who knows Dharma? Dharma is known by those Vaishnavas who have actually studied the scriptures deeply and have understood the purport and the meaning and have heard from Mahabhagavats. Killing of animals is totally condemned. Killing of animals is considered in the low mode of ignorance. As it is said here, that people being ignorant of the purpose of sacrifice and being most satisfied by killing others, the animals themselves are thinking that, oh, we will now be sacrificed. And they are scared, and they are also knowing that these persons do not know, by sacrificing us in the name of religion. And Prabhupada quotes that most of the religions in this world are full of animal sacrifice, thinking that they are satisfying the Supreme Lord, which is completely condemned in the pure devotional scriptures such as Srimad Bhagavatam. There are certain scriptures in the mode of ignorance of Tamagun that do have a provision for animal sacrifice, but that has got so many restrictions. What are the restrictions? For example, it is said in some of the Tamaguni scriptures that yes, somebody is addicted to eating animal flesh, then they should be stopped gradually, just like when somebody has been If I can give a very crude or a simple example, if somebody is addicted to, say, drugs or alcohol or cigarettes, if you ask that person to give it up today or right away, this moment, if that person is drinking every day or is smoking like maybe one or two packets of cigarettes every day, you think that person will be able to stop? It does not happen. Gradually, even the doctors in the, what we call in the West is called rehabilitation, or in short form it is called rehab. People who are addicted to drugs, etc., what they are done is they are actually admitted to such rehab facilities. And in these rehab facilities, they are actually given small doses of the drug that they are addicted to, and slowly it is weaned off, so that eventually they will remain drug free. Besides counseling, and besides so many other different meetings. Like there is a group in United States, it's very old, it's called AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. And in AA, what they do is, somebody who is addicted to alcohol, what they do is they ask them to voluntarily come in, and they make them feel very nice and friendly. There is a group of other alcoholics who are sitting in the same room, and they are given an opportunity to open up their hearts. And these alcoholics say that, hey, my name is John, and I am an alcoholic. He will stand up and he will admit in front of everybody that I am an alcoholic. And there will be somebody who has joined the group and says, my name is Mary, and I am an alcoholic, but I have been enrolled in this group for the last 20 days, and I have remained alcohol free. I have not touched alcohol. So, similarly, for those who are addicted to eating meat continuously, the Vedas have a system where gradually from tamogun, you rise to the platform of rajogun, from rajogun, you rise to the platform of satogun. And from satogun, especially the Vaishnavas, propagate Shuddha Sattvam, which is a transcendental mode. Like Krishna also instructs Arjun in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter. He says, what is that verse? Veda, Tristray Bhava Guna Arjuna. Tray Gunaya Vishaya Veda. You transcend these three modes of material, Nistray Bhava Guna Arjuna. You go beyond these three modes. That means you be situated in the Shuddha Sattvam. But it is extremely difficult to do that right away. So the Vedas do have this, some provisions of eating meat. So somebody who is in a very tamogun, dark mode of ignorance, then Vedas say that, okay, you can offer on Amavas, certain mantras have to be spoken in the ear of an animal that you are sacrificing, but that animal cannot be a cow. Absolutely. Vedas, even the tamoguni Vedas have never recommended cow killing. It could be maybe a goat or something like that. And in the ear of the goat, you have to say these mantras. The essence of the mantras are that, my dear goat, I am killing you now. So, but in the future, you will have an opportunity to kill me also. So somebody who is intelligent, when he's speaking those mantras, will think that, why am I doing this? Eventually, eye for an eye, like the Bible also says. Eventually what is going to happen, karma is going to catch up, and if I am doing this heinous act, then that goat someday will become a human being or maybe some other animal and will kill me as well. So why am I doing this? It is not recommended. And also it is regulated that only on certain 2 days in a month, not on every day. But unfortunately, what most of these people are doing, they have ignored the instructions of the Vedas, and they say, oh, in the Veda, in this particular Puran, or in this particular Tamaguni way, it is said that on such and such a page, you can eat meat. But they do not say, on such and such a page, it also says that you have to say these mantras, and you have to slowly transcend, go above this heinous activity. So that is the main reason, actually, because of the Vedas, it was so rampant meat eating, especially about 2500 years ago. At that time, people were eating so much meat, there was so much pashu himsa, so much animal killing, violence towards animals, that Lord Krishna had to personally come as Lord Buddha. Keshava Drita Buddha Sarira Jaya Jagadish Hare. He came, and what did Lord Buddha propagate? Lord Buddha propagated that these Vedas, keep them aside. There is no use of these Vedas. Don't study Vedas anymore. He actually deactivated the Vedas. And he said, Ahimsa Paro Dharma. The main thing is Ahimsa, non-violence. Stop the animal killing.
And he even actually completely reverted the idea, the theory of the soul, etc., and become Shunyavad, become zero, and be established in such a position. So here, Buddhism is basically a sort of a voidism or Shunyavad. And that is why in our Prabhupada's Pranam Mantra, we say that Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Sri Prabhupada not only delivered the Westerners by going to United States, Europe and so many places all over, but he also delivered Nirvisesh, the Mayavadis, who think that the Supreme Lord has no qualities, the Supreme Lord has no form, the Supreme Lord is just some imaginary thing, Aham Brahmasmi, which is completely mistranslated as I am that Supreme. So Aham, they say that. That's the propagation. So, Srila Prabhupada delivered Mayavadi. Srila Prabhupada delivered Nirvisesha Shunyavadi. Shunyavadi means the Buddhist. So, Lord Krishna came speaking against the Vedas. But it's amazing, right after he established non-violence, then he sent his most dear servant or most dear devotee or most dear personality, Lord Shiva, as Sri Shankaracharya, to re-establish the Vedas. He himself, because the Supreme Lord is Swarat. Bhagavatam, first verse itself, he is Abhigya and Swarat. He knows everything, and his Swarat means he is completely independent. So when he is completely independent, he can desire to do, he can activate the Vedas anytime he wants, he can deactivate. Just like a captain in a cricket team, it is not necessary that he has to go always as an opening batsman. Sometimes he comes as an opening batsman, sometimes he goes as third down, or he may go as sixth down or seventh down. Right? So sometimes it is his discretion. That is why he is Bhagavan. He is completely independent. He can desire and he can come in the world wherever he pleases and wherever he enacts his pastimes. That is why he is Bhagavan. If we limit that, why some people in the West who are non-Krishna conscious devotees or non-Krishna conscious, they ask, why do the Hindus or even some of the people in India, why is Krishna only God? Why did he only appear in India? That is his desire. You cannot limit the Supreme Lord to that, you must be born in such and such a place or you must be born in such and such a time. No. He is totally Swarat. Completely independent. As he chooses, as he pleases. So animal killing is condemned. Especially those who are intelligent will. And people in the name of religion, especially some of the faiths, they say that, our such and such acharya or our paigambar, etc., recommended. According to time, place and circumstance, they might, even like Jesus Christ, it is said that he was completely vegetarian. Nowhere in the Bible or anywhere in any of the Old Testaments, any of the prophets ate meat. If you scrutinizingly read the Bible, we have had the opportunity to read it before we came to Krishna consciousness. We were educated in a convent school right here in Bombay, St. Mary's, not too far, in Baikala. So we had that opportunity, although born in a Hindu family, in a Vaishnava family, I was always interested in reading other scriptures, what other people have to say, what other philosophies were. So I remember reading both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Old Testament means the prophets before Jesus Christ. And New Testament means after Jesus Christ, the teachings of Jesus after. So even in the Old Testament, Prabhupada has quoted very clearly, the Old Testament has 10 commandments that Moses, that the Supreme Lord had manifested to Moses. Thou shall not kill. That is one of the primary commandments. Thou shall not kill. There were certain arguments or certain debates with even Sri Prabhupada on that word, kill. Not kill means what? The word is not used that thou shalt. So some people say, those who are eating meat, we should not kill human beings. But for human beings, the word in particular is to be used. If you see the vocabulary, then that would be thou shalt, not murder. The word is kill. Kill means it encompasses every entity. Every entity. And in the beginning of the Old Testament, the Supreme Lord, God, told Adam and Eve that I am giving you this Garden of Eden and this dominion over this entire world. Dominion means you are like the king or the queen. And dominion means you are in control. Does that mean, supposing if there is a king or a queen or a prime minister who is in control of the whole country, can that prime minister or a king start killing people or killing entities. Dominion means protection. That is the actual meaning if you really see the deeper meaning. Praja. What does praja mean? When there is a king, praja means the subjects of the ruler, meaning the ruler has to guide and protect. Protection is a part of the dominion. One cannot just rampantly think that I can go and killing cows and calves and because they are, so they have a lower consciousness. That's what they say. If they have a lower consciousness, so what? Sometimes even in our own families we see that certain children are born with deficiencies. Like either they are handicapped or they are basically autistic or they are mentally retarded. So they are of a lower consciousness too. Do you kill them and eat them? That's the question. Do you eat those? Lower consciousness does not give us the right to kill them. Killing is basically meant for taste, for the tongue. For basically the tongue, jiva. Just to satisfy our senses. If we systematically analyze scientifically and spiritually why animal killing is not permitted, let us talk about the human body, the anatomy itself. The human body, the digestion of the human body starts from the mouth. Those who have studied science, when we were in school, we studied that. The digestion begins with the saliva that is actually emanating in the mouth, in the oral region. And when you are biting into something, let's say a piece of bread or chapati, and you're chewing, that piece of bread or chapati becomes very sweet because the digestion process already starts. The saliva is a mild acid. And when that the action of that acid takes place, the carbohydrates are broken down into the glucose and fructose. And glucose and fructose is sweet. That is why if you chew a roti properly or a piece of bread, you will feel it sweeter and sweeter as you chew it before you swallow it. The digestion process, the nature to the human beings and to, there are two kinds classes of animals we can say. One is the herbivorous animals. And the other class is known as the carnivorous. The word carnivorous means, it comes from the Latin word carne. Carne means meat. Carne means flesh. Just like we use the word in English, incarnation. That means somebody who comes from the spiritual world or from the heavenly planets and is taken into flesh. Carne. Who has come into flesh like a human form. That is why the word is known as incarnation. So the word carne is a Latin word. So there are carnivorous animals, means those animals that eat, survive on meat. And there are herbivorous animals. Herbivorous animals are those that are surviving on herbs. Herbs means grass, etc. Or plants, fruits, etc. So if you look at the mouth structure of a herbivorous animal, including human beings, we mostly, 90% we have molars. Molars are the larger teeth. We only have 4 canines. 1, 2, 3, 4 in the front. Those are meant for biting into fruits and nuts. If you look at other examples of herbivorous animals like cows, right, or horses, just to give a couple quick examples, they have all, the, if you ever seen the mouth of a horse open or a mouth of a cow, they are all molars, no canines. Canines are meant to bite into something sharp. They are sharp because they need to, especially human beings need those. Cows and horses don't need to eat fruits or nuts. Human beings have that option to eat fruits and nuts, and that is why we have got 4 canines. So that is the digestive system. Now, when the human being or the herbivorous animal puts the food in the mouth and it goes into the digestive tract, the digestive tract is about approximately 32 times the length of the body. So for example, if a human being is, let's say, 5 feet tall, multiplied by approximately 30, so it's 150 feet. That's what our stomach or the intestinal tract is, because that is required for the digestion of the herbs or the different fibers that are actually ingested. Correct? But if you look at, compare the anatomy, inside anatomy, or the digestive tract of the carnivorous animals, it is approximately 3 to 4 times the length of the body. So let's say if there is a tiger, and the tiger is say 10 feet, then the digestive tract, you multiply it by about 3, the digestive tract is about 3. So 30 feet. Or even if it's a small animal, let's say if it is a small carnivorous, dog or something. Like they have some dogs that are very carnivorous, like wild dogs, or even little wolves or foxes. Let's say if they're about 1 foot in length, their digestive tract is about, multiplied by 3, it's about 3 feet. So the nature has given us these facilities. Now, let us look at the structure of the body. For the herbivorous animals or the vegetation or the vegetarians, the human beings have simple, small nails. Whereas if you compare them to the carnivorous animals, they actually have sharp nails that act like knives. So, we human beings, those who eat meat, you have to actually take a knife and fork in order to cut. And not only that, you have to cook the meat. You cannot eat it raw. The carnivorous animals can eat the meat raw and they will not die. But a human being, if they take a raw piece of meat, they will certainly die or they will fall extremely sick. So the body is not equipped. The tiger, the wolves, the bears are equipped with such equipment naturally that they have their own knife and fork. They have a digestive system that is so powerful that it is full of acid. The acidic content in the body is so heavy. Very, very... if you have gone to a zoo, and if you go close to, like in the West, we have visited when we were many years ago, some of the best zoos in the world, like the San Diego Zoo is considered one of the most, like Niagara Falls or Taj Mahal. These are all different wonders of the world. So, there we see that in the West, they have very clean zoos. And there is a tiger's cage or a bear's cage. Maybe after one tiger or one bear, there are three attendants. If they make some poo or something, they will clean up right away. But still, if you notice, when you go close to the cage, still there is a stench. There is a certain smell. And you see, they're always drooling. That is heavy acidic content that when they eat raw meat, immediately the digestion process takes place without cooking it. Whereas the human being, it's an artificial imposition on the body. You have to cook it. So that shows that this is absolutely not necessary. Some people argue that if you stop eating meat, then what will happen to the animal population? The animal population will increase more than the human beings. Such a nonsense argument. Prabhupada has mentioned very clearly that there are slaughtering animals either by religion or for food. In most abominable condemned, it is uncondemned, and they are actually opening slaughterhouses. They are being bred. The animal population is increasing out of proportion for the stomach, for the sense gratification, is because they are breeding. They are animal farms. And they are so merciless. This verse, it says very clearly, the word that is being used is akrunaha. Those who are inhuman are completely merciless. Recently, when we had visited Miami, there was a fair, and there was some propagators of vegetarianism. They had a table there. And this person was almost like, you know, whatever Vaishnava principles, no meat eating. So they were propagating how, and there was a video that was being displayed on the table. This was on the street, right outside. Like we have a mela here in India, right? So they had a mela there. So they had displayed it. It was so, so ghastly when I saw that video, how they kill the cows in the slaughterhouses. They are so merciless that when they are, I don't want to basically describe it, but I do want to describe it because those people who are actually, especially here, I'm sure it's not going to ever happen, but if there's somebody eating meat, I hope after hearing this, they are inspired to give up meat. They actually hang those cows, and sometimes they actually pour hot 110 degree Celsius water on it so that their skin becomes soft, so that it is very easy to rip the skin off, and they do that while they are alive. Where they're not even butchered. That is called merciless. People, okay, like you want to kill. There is a nice katha in the Bhagavatam about Mrigari and Naradji. Naradji comes across this Mrigari. Mrigari means a hunter. And if you analyze that word, Mrig means animal or basically a deer. And Ari means enemy. So enemy of animals is known as Mrigari. So Naradji was going through a forest, there was a Mrigari killing, and he was getting great pleasure. He was merciless by putting the arrow in such a way into the body of an animal that the animal will not die immediately. It will be fluttering and it will be completely suffering in such a way that it will die a very, very slow death. So Naradji told this Brigadi that, hey, why are you killing animals? So he said, you don't know, Maharaji, it is my profession. That's how I make my money. I kill animals and I sell them. So Naradji said that, okay, I understand if it is your profession, but why are you killing them mercilessly like this? Why are you killing animals mercilessly? So he says that, well, I get a certain pleasure out of doing that. This is what the mentality of the people are who are, and animals, those who eat animals, they are eating actually mode of ignorance directly. There is a saying in Hindi, jaisa sang aisa rang. There is a saying in Gujarati, jeva anna eva odkar. Whatever you eat, that's what you will burp. So, whatever your association is, one who is addicted to eating meat, just think about this. The meat eaters, they are eating animals that are in the mode of ignorance. If you see those animals, I saw in that video, when they are raising or cultivating the farms for the pigs and the chicken, etc., they are in such a small space. And there are thousands of them in that small space. And they are actually excreting on each other. They are eating their own stool sometimes because they are hungry. Sometimes they are not fed properly. And whatever they eat, whatever they do, after we kill them, it goes in our stomach, and then we are associating with that mode of ignorance. Not only those animals, when they are breeding, when they are eating, wherever they are doing their excrement, wherever they are urinating, in the same place they are eating. Now, can you imagine human beings doing that? But those people eating meat are almost doing the same thing, because that is what is there in their stomachs, in those animals. They are mating in the same place where they are eating. They are mating in the same place. And their mating means what? They can mate even with their own offspring. They don't have any distinction. Like human beings, that you only have sex within married life. Animals, they don't care. Immediately when their babies are born, a few months later, they will have sex with their own babies. So can you imagine, those who are eating meat, that is the same lakshanas, or the same qualities that come into those people. That is why in the West, if you see, people are addicted to women outside of marriage. Why? Because that propensity is there in animals. That is the reason. If you see, it is very normal. Living relationships, they don't get married, but they say, oh, we are free. We both want to be free. We want to live with you. And that addiction is coming to India in the big metropolitan cities too. There are so many college girls and boys that are living with the opposite sex in the same dorm, saying that we are in a living relationship. What kind of nonsense is that? That is completely animalistic, because they go and patronize places like KFC or McDonald's. It's a trend. Oh, McDonald's is the best place in the world. You know, if you see, there's a big line outside McDonald's. If just analyze. So when you eat all these animals, basically we are actually a moving body that is full of a graveyard. Chalta firta kabrastan. That's what we are. Sadhus have really very clearly said this. We know one doctor who was in the University of Chicago. She was actually teaching anatomy to medical students. Please hear this. It's very interesting. So when she cuts open the body, the cadaver, to teach the students, there was one person's body was very heavy. And when they cut open the body and they cut the stomach open, you will not believe, she said, and she is a Vaishnavi who comes to the temple regularly, but she's teaching the students. Inside they found, like, this person must be about, I would say, over 120-130 kilos. Very heavy person. Or maybe 150 kilos. In that his body, they found so much undigested meat in that body. They found. And that person had actually died because of some digestive issues. The cause of the death. So meat is not healthy even from scientific point of view. Even today some of the doctors will, in medical journals, say that those who eat meat, they are more prone to heart attacks, to cholesterol, etc. So even scientifically it is proven. Scientifically based on the anatomy of the body, and also based on, these are all material reasons I have given. I have not even started the spiritual reasons. Time is a little short. It's a very interesting subject, especially why no meat eating. It is not that a dream came to Prabhupada that, oh, follow these four regulative principles and chant minimum 16 good rounds and you will go back home, back to Godhead. So many. Prabhupada, when he came to the West in 1965, already Ramakrishna Mission was there, because Vivekananda ji had come to Chicago in 1899, and Prabhupada ji came to America in 1965. So from 1899 to 1965, they had already, the Ramakrishna Mission had already established a few mutts, like in New York, in California, and some other places. So Prabhupada, being a Bengali gentleman, he went. He was at that time, he didn't have anybody, not much contact. So he had gone to the Ramakrishna Mission, and the Ramakrishna Mission people told him that Swamiji, in New York, it's a very cold place. You know, if you tell these people, don't eat any meat, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit, they will say, Swamiji, pack your bags and leave. And here, you have to even take a little bit of alcohol to stay warm. And we all know that the Ramakrishna Mission persons, they all eat meat. Most of them, they eat fish. So, this is not our Vaishnava system. We're not trying to condemn anybody. But the point is, Prabhupada very clearly said that I'm here to give something genuine. And he's giving everything as is. That's the beauty of our parampara. No manipulation. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, and no illicit sex is a verse from the Mahabharata. Striyam dutam panam shunam yatra dharma chaturvidha. It is not that Prabhupada got a dream that you should not do striyam, no illicit sex, which all animals do. Panam, intoxication. Shunam, meat eating. Dutam, gambling. Yatra, these. Adharma, they are against spirituality. Chaturvida, these four. So those who are really interested, and there are so many people maybe hearing over the internet and all over the world, if you are seriously interested in your spiritual life, the first thing that you have to do is stop eating meat. Because the spiritual vibration will not enter your heart. There is a barrier, an unknown subtle barrier that will not allow. Just like, sometimes I like to use this example. You may buy the latest model TV. Maybe a 62-inch Sony Bravo. Beautiful TV, perfect. And if you don't have an antenna on that TV, or it's not connected with the cable, you will not get any picture. Is it true or not? It may be the best model. Or the TV tower may have issues, and you may not get a transmission. Either ways, the transmission of the spiritual knowledge will not go within our hearts if we are addicted to these things. It's a barrier. Either when you are hearing from the wrong people, just like a TV tower, if it's not transmitting properly, even though you may have the best heart or the best TV, you're not going to get the reception, like a mobile. You can buy the latest mobile, let's say iPhone 7. But if your tower is not proper, then you're not going to get a signal. Similarly, if there is a problem that you don't have, if there is a little system in that receives the transmission, if that is not proper and it is faulty, you will not get the reception of your mobile. So similarly, when some of these sadhus, they go and propagate so many, but they do not stress that you should not eat meat. They say, do whatever you're doing. You do some mala, do some yoga, everything will be okay. No. If you're serious about spiritual life, stop associating with animals. And when you're eating meat, you're associating with animals directly. All the bad gunas of the animals are within in your stomach. That illicit sex is within your stomach, that dirtiness, the tamaguna is what? Tamaguna means, clearly the shastras describe, that it is very dirty, laziness. We have seen pigs. I just came from Vrindavan Dham. The pigs there, if you see, they don't even have 2 seconds to look up. They are always in the dirty ditch. They are always trying to find some food. Prabhupada has mentioned somewhere in the purport that if you give the pigs some nice hot ghee puris or sweets, it will smell it and reject it. But the pigs, they like stool. Ah, where is nice stool? Where can I find fresh stool? That is what they will put their nose for. So these animals, and then these pigs, they eat their own stool in the pig pens, especially in the West. What is known as pork eaters. They eat pork. They very much like, they relish their stool. As soon as they see any fresh stool, I'm sorry, this is very gross. This is very, very ugly, but I have to describe this to bring out this point about meat eating. Immediately, the moment the fresh stool comes out from another pig's body or from their own body, they will eat it. And then, very happily, the people in the supermarket, they go and they buy those big packets of meat and they cook it nicely and put it on a nice table with nice fork and the Thanksgiving time. Turkey. Turkey slaughter is so rampant in the West, especially. And what kind of thanksgiving is this? Is the Lord going to be pleased in the name of sacrificing? Oh, my dear Lord, thank us for this food on the table. You are killing an innocent animal that cannot even protect itself. And in the name of thanksgiving, you want to kill animals? You think the Lord will be pleased? Absolutely not. There is no question of the Lord being pleased. Jesus was completely vegetarian. It is said that when there was a necessity for food, at so many days there was no food, Jesus actually rained manna from heaven. It is there in the Bible. He did not multiply fish. As a matter of fact, I forget which book it is, Jesus says in the Bible, when he's crossing across the ocean on the beach, he sees some fishermen, machimar. So he says, leave this fish and come after me, I will make you a fisherman of men. It's a wonderful Vaishnava principle. Those who have studied the Vaishnava scriptures, I will make you a fisherman of men means what? Become a Vaishnava and you fish for men. Bring these souls to Krishna. Bring these souls to God. Just like when we are preaching, it is sort of a fishing. We are trying to catch souls in a net. Net of Krishna consciousness. So I will make you fishermen of men. Leave this fish. Jesus, when he was 12 years old, Prabhupada very clearly says in the testament that when the Jews were sacrificing birds and animals in the synagogues, and that therefore they rejected Jewish system of religion. Jesus was born to Jewish parents. Mary and Joseph were Jewish. But he rejected that because in the temples of the Jews, they were sacrificing birds, etc. So when Jesus saw that at a very tender age of 12, he didn't like that idea. He says, I want to reject this religion itself. That is prone to killing animals. So how can Jesus propagate meat eating? Think about it, my dear Christian friends. Think about it. The purpose of rejecting Jewish religion is because of the killing of animals. So how can that person who has rejected his own religion propagate a religion to eat meat? There's a complete misconception. He rained manna. Manna from heaven means it's a sort of a honey bread. Bread loaded with honey. Jesus showed that miracle. Jesus also said in the Bible, I have many things yet to say, but you do not have the ears. I have many things yet to say, but you don't have. That means he is saying that I have so much spiritual knowledge to give you all, but you are not ready for it yet. First of all, try to be proper human beings. Be situated on a sattvic platform. Then maybe you, in your next birth, you will get the opportunity to become or come across Vaishnavas and the Vaishnavas principles. When Prabhupada was on Jaldut, he wrote a wonderful prayer in Bengali, in Bangla, when one of the lines is that, my dear Jagat Guru, O Krishna, please make me speak in such a way, how will these people in the West who are full of Tamogun and Rajogun will understand the message of Vasudev? They are full of tamagun, they are full of mode of ignorance, and they are full of rajagun, mode of passion. So they have given me the title of Bhakti Vedanta. But if you so desire, my dear Krishna, please make this title to fruition, bring it to fruition. I have no knowledge, I have no bhakti, but somehow or the other you have brought me to this place, so make me dance, make me dance, make me dance, I am a puppet in your hands. That is the bhava of a Vaishnava. That is called actually fisherman of men. Prabhupada actually fished us out of this ocean of material world. That's what Jesus was talking about when he told the fishermen, leave the fish, I will make you a fish. And those fishermen, some of them became some of the disciples of Jesus. Some of the primary disciples, the 12 disciples of Jesus. Jesus was a pure vegetarian. There's no question of him eating meat. Look at the Buddhist, unfortunately. Again, not condemning the person, it is condemning the activity. Lord Buddha came to stop meat eating. Most of the Buddhists are followers of Lord Buddha, but they don't follow Lord Buddha's main instruction, which is stop meat eating. 95% of the Buddhists, they are meat eaters. We had the opportunity to meet in 1999 in the Parliament of World Religions, Dalai Lama. And he was asked this question by some reporters and somebody that, what is the, you eat meat, yes, we eat meat. So he said he doesn't see the difference between vegetarianism and meat. He's such a famous person. But what is the use of your fame when you cannot see the difference? And spiritual reasons I have not even touched here. We don't have the time right now. Those animals have a certain karmic life cycle. Based on their karma, they have to live a certain number of, let's say a goat has to live 10 years. And if we kill it prematurely, let's say it's born and within 1 or 2 years you kill it, we are responsible for stopping that karmic cycle, which is meant to be in that species. So obviously we will get the reaction of that. That is one spiritual reason. Secondly, none of these animals are spiritual. When you associate with devotees who are spiritual, then you will become spiritual. When you associate with rajasic people, then you will get become rajasic. When you associate with tamasic entities, or entities that are in the mode of ignorance, then you become tamasic. Then you are going to cheat on your wife. Then you are going to sleep and drink and be merry. Bars in the West, can you believe this? They are open until 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. 4 a.m., 6 a.m. People have so much time and money to spend and get drunk until 4 in the morning. Until 6 in the morning. This is tamasic. And then they go to sleep and then some of these people don't even see the daylight. Their activity is based on such a way that they wake up at 4 or 5 in the evening next day. And again they start the same activity. Because main cause is meat eating. The root, if you stop meat eating, all these things will follow. And obviously the Vaishnava principles are so amazing that if you don't eat any meat, you don't do illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, then you are actually situated on the human platform and you will clear that barrier so that the sound waves will go. There are so many people giving pravachans all over India, all over spiritual. If you flip a channel, Asta channel or this channel, even in the West, they are preaching in the churches. There are so many big evangelists or speakers and they are talking about God. But why that desired effect is not coming? Because they do not understand the root cause is meat eating. Meat eating, that creates a barrier. Just like there is a barrier when the sound waves are going in. Basically, Shabda is what? Sound waves. Right? When you are hearing. Shabda Praman. If the sound waves cannot enter, they will simply bounce off. There is a hard rock that is created, a barrier in the body. So that is the reason it will not have that desired effect on that person. Unless and until like someone like Srila Prabhupada, which is mentioned in the next verse, one who is dharmakrit, knows, instead of the proper Shraddha ceremony is to offer Bhagavat Prasad. And Bhagavat Prasad can bring a great change. That is how Prabhupada changed the lives of these people. 26 Second Avenue in New York, Prabhupada just did two main things. He chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's all he did standing in the Tompkins Square Park. He attracted all these hippies who are addicted to the worst things that one can imagine, that even by social norms was considered abominable. And then once they started hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra from a pure devotee, the barrier was removed from their heart and slowly things started coming in. They started coming. They from their own money said, Swamiji, you've come from India. Swamiji said, yes. Swamiji, do you teach Bhagavad Gita? Swami said, yes. So they from their own salaries rented a place on 26 Second Avenue and they gave money on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Prabhupada started giving Bhagavad Gita classes. And Prabhupada with his own hands, he offered nice sattvic foodstuffs to Krishna and prasadam he distributed with his own hands. 70-year-old man, he used to make 20-20 rotis for each person and he would say with compassion, my dear boy, my dear girl, you're not eating well, take more. 30-40 hippies used to come. Prabhupada used to sit on his own haunches and serve prasadam. And then when they ate, some of these people were so high on drugs or on alcohol, the body anatomy is such that when you are ingesting such items, you feel very hungry. So they used to feel so hungry, they used to just come for food, Swamiji's food. And then they eat, and they would eat and leave, or some of them would just simply lie down, right there, in 20 years. And Prabhupada would do all the cleanup. How much compassion! So through prasadam and Hari Kirtan, that is what is being said here in this particular chapter about especially those who are addicted to the grihastha dharma about following principles like shraddha ceremony, oblations to their forefathers, etc. The best oblation is offering Mahaprasad in all conditions. The first thing you do is the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Sometimes we wonder when we go to the office or we go to places, some of them say, oh, I have a very nice person, my colleague, but I don't know how to preach to that person. I don't know he's a Christian or he's a Muslim. Best way to preach is take a fruit, a banana or something, offer it to Krishna at home and say, hey, I've got this for you. You want to share this banana? Give them Krishna Prasad. And instead of saying good morning, you can always say Hare Krishna. Even if they do not reply Hare Krishna, their words, the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna goes in their ears. That will certainly bring a reform. That is the best, that's how Prabhupada, we follow the footsteps of our great Acharya. Dharmasya tatva nitam guhyam mahajana jena gata sapantaha. Following in the purport of the, or the meaning of the Shastras, is nihitam guyam. It's extremely confidential. Not just by reading Shastra one can understand Shastra. But Mahajana Jena Ghatanapanta, by great following the great personalities, the devotees like Srila Prabhupada, following in their footsteps, then we will understand the purport and we will be able to give the purport of Dharma to others. So Prabhupada did what? Book distribution came later. But the first thing is sound vibration and prasadam. And then once somebody becomes receptive, then Harikatha, through Harikatha, and Harikatha through Prabhupada's books. This is the system. That is what Dharmavit means. Dharmavit means one who is a proper follower of the Dharma. Dharma, Sarva, Prabhupada quotes in the next verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. What does that mean? That means that we have to surrender to Krishna completely, in such a way, only to Krishna. As Krishna says, then we will take care of our reactions. We have so many reactions, we have a baggage. That is like a complete cycle, non-stop cycle, birth after birth after birth. This birth, we are actually suffering the reactions of our previous births. There is no end to it, unless and until we come across and make a full stop to it. And how do you put a full stop to it? Is by listening to the great Vaishnavas who has given us this method of Dharma. This is, so meat eating is the first thing. First thing, those who are eating meat, my humble request to you, if you are serious about your spiritual life, please stop eating meat. Meat is not necessary. If you see the vegetarians, they are so healthy. Look at the devotees, look at their faces. The prasadam itself is such nutritious. And secondly, or primarily, we only take Krishna prasad. Somebody may say, oh, okay, no killing. So killing means also no killing of trees, no cleaning of plants. What about that? You are eating vegetation, that is also killing. Yes, my dear sir, that is killing, but that sacrifice is permitted because we take that and we offer it to Krishna. And that takes away all the karma. When you are offering a tree or a fruit or a plant from that tree to Krishna, that tree also benefits. Not only that tree benefits, one who has planted that tree, one who has taken that fruit from the tree, one who has taken it to the market, one who has, through the distribution channel, it has come to the sabjiwala, all that entire chain will benefit as a transcendental because it has been offered to Krishna. But those who are eating meat, they will not understand this. But then someone will say, great idea, thank you so much, I will take tulsi and offer a piece of chicken to Krishna. But no, my dear sir, Krishna very clearly says, Patram pushpam phalam toyam jome bhaktya prayachati. I will only take foodstuffs that are offered in the sattvic mode, that are in the category of patram, leaf, fruit, flower or water, in those categories. So we have to do anukulina Krishna anushilanam tat bhakti ruttama. Whatever, like for example, right now let's say if somebody says, my dear sir, you have come to my house, I would like to offer you with a lot of love a glass of beer. But my dear sir, I don't take beer. No, you must take. What kind of service is that? That is not service, that is disservice. So Krishna clearly has said that, look, this is what I like. And you can offer me that with love. Even if you don't have money, offer me a glass of water with tulsi leaf and I will lovingly, if you offer it, I will take it. That's what the power of prasad is. It's transcendental. Completely divya. So it is reaction-free food. So those who are even like one day I heard His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj saying, Pasu panchi bhi bandar adi bhi kha lete hain, sabji adi. They are also vegetarians, some of the animals. But what is the difference between us and them? We offer to Krishna and we take. So there we are bereft of that reaction. And that tree also benefits. When that tree dies, we'll eventually get a higher destination because that fruit came from that tree and it was offered to Krishna. Even that laborer who worked in the farm, even he gets that benefit. The entire chain gets the benefit. So Mahaprasad, next verse is there in this chapter as we go, has got great significance. And in this chapter also, the words of the Guru are very important. One should, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chittete Kori Aikya Aur Na Koriyo Mane Asha. So we are so fortunate to come across Prabhupada. Prabhupada says that in our movement, this is what we are propagating. Take to this Krishna consciousness. Take to this method and your life will be successful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, Gurudev ki jai. Are there any questions? If there is any questions, maybe one or two questions we can take. Otherwise, Mahaprasade, Govinde. Hare Krishna. Haribol.